I'm so thankful that you are here this morning on a day where I would rather be doing what I'm doing right now than I think anything else I can think of. I love Easter for so many reasons, but one of the reasons that we've all got to be thankful for is that we know on Easter we finally get to break out our summer clothes and put our winter clothes away, because winter really truly is over. I want to begin this morning by sharing with you a story of a man that was pulled over by a policeman for speeding. And when the policeman asked him for his driver's license and his car registration, he said, "Well, I can't help you there. I don't have a license. It's been revoked for my horrible driving record, and I don't have a car registration because I stole this car. But I do think maybe I saw a registration in the glove box when I put my gun in there." And the policeman says, "You have a gun?" He says, "Yeah, I used it to rob the bank, and then I put the money in the trunk." Well, immediately he pulls out his gun and he calls for backup. And within a couple of minutes, several cop cars just showed up screeching their wheels, and all of the guys jumped out, guns drawn. And a captain comes up and he's walking slowly to the window and he says, "Sir, can you identify yourself?" He said, "I sure can." And he pulls out his wallet and he shows the captain a valid driver's license, and he asked the man, "Well, who does this car belong to?" He says, "It belongs to me. Look." And he slowly opens the glove box, and all that was in there was a couple of maps and the car's registration. Well, the captain slowly opens the trunk, and the only thing that was in the trunk was a spare tire. So he puts his gun away, and he's confused, and he says, I don't get it. My officer here says that you had no driver's license, no registration, the car was stolen, that there was money in the trunk from a bank that you had robbed, and you put your gun in the glove box." The guy says, "Huh, I'll bet he said that I was even speeding, too." You see, we live in a world that is dominated by fabrications and myths and deceptions. We can't trust the news. We can't trust what we see on the internet. And it makes it very hard to know what to believe. The night before Jesus was killed, Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" And to every new generation, they have to answer that very old question. What is truth? What can you believe? It is a grave question. And my search for an answer led me to a grave. And once I personally became convinced that the grave was empty, and I knew then there was no more excuses for just going through life lying around. The sermon today has one basic premise, and here it is. Write this down. If the tomb is empty, then Jesus is full of truth. You see, Christianity rises or it falls on this claim, not that Jesus was a good man, not that he died a martyr's death. It rises or falls on this claim that God's enemies put a transient in the tomb. Even those who don't embrace Christianity will admit our whole faith depends on whether or not the claim of Easter is true. Several years ago, Newsweek magazine did a cover story on the claim of Easter, and here is what the author wrote. "By any measure, the resurrection of Jesus is the most radical of Christian doctrines. His teaching, his compassion for others, even his martyr's death, all find parallels in other religious traditions, but of no other historical figure has the claim been made more persistently that God raised him from the dead. I argue that by his resurrection, Jesus clearly distances himself from all others out there who are claiming that they speak for God and that they have the truth. We say that Jesus is not just another dead founder of another world religion. If Jesus came back from the dead, it is fair to assert that he knows what he's talking about more than any other religious leader. And you better pay close attention to anything he's got to say, because if the tomb is empty, Jesus alone is full of truth. There was a play called The Trial of Jesus, and in the play, the centurion in charge of the execution of Christ was a Roman named Longinus. And after the crucifixion, he is summoned back to Pilate's place of residence by Pilate's wife, Procula, who you remember in the Gospels was against the murder of Jesus. And she asks Longinus, "Do you believe he's dead?" And he said, "No, my lady, I do not." And she asked, "Where is he then?" And he said, "Let loose on the world, my lady, where neither Roman nor Jew can stop his truth." I don't know about you, but I needed an answer to the question, what is truth? And I went on a search, and I have invested my life, not just on this side of the grave, but on the next, on my belief that Jesus is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life, and I believe his resurrection validates that claim. If the tomb is empty, Jesus has the truth. And there's no more excuse for going through life just lying around. You see, Easter blows a lot of our most popular myths right out of the water. And let me give you some examples. The first lie that Easter confronts is this, that all religions are basically the same. You've heard that. It doesn't really matter what you believe, because all religions are basically the same. So just believe whatever you choose, but do so with all of your heart. And listen, if the tomb is empty, it is not enough just to be full of sincerity. Would you go to a doctor that said, "I know you're very sick, but it doesn't really matter what kind of medicine you take. Just believe and you'll get better." Would you take directions from somebody that said, "It doesn't really matter what road you go down, just believe in your heart and you'll get there"? We live in a country, and I'm thankful that we do, where all religions are equally protected, but that does not mean all religions are equally true. The Christian faith says that the Son of God was crucified. He was buried because he was dead. And 3 days later, he was risen from the dead to reconcile you to God. And if that's true, you can't reconcile Christianity to any other religion in the world. The real question, the question he asked his disciples, the question that I'm asking you today is, who do you say Jesus is? Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I still think that's the right answer. Because of his sinless life, neither biblical nor extra-biblical writers of Jesus could find anything that he ever did that was wrong. He fulfilled prophecies. Go and read your Old Testament carefully. You will find several hundred predictions, hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, that he fulfilled. His miracles, how do you explain them? Most of all, his resurrection. You see, Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The empty tomb separates Jesus from anybody else who would ever claim to be your Savior. See, here is a picture of a crypt, and the body that is resting there is Vladimir Lenin. And you can go to Moscow today, you can get into a line with other people, and you can walk by and you can see Vladimir Lenin laying there in his crypt. And there's a plaque there And on that plaque, you can read these words. He was the greatest leader of all people of all time. He was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the Savior of the world. I have one problem with him being my Savior. He's dead. I need my Savior to have a little bit more life in him. You see, a dead man can save nobody, but a risen Lord can save anybody. So here's the truth from God himself. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 6 says, "This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." Here's the truth. Jesus is God's appointed Savior for the world. And if the tomb is empty, then no Savior can fill me with hope like Jesus can. The resurrection exposes the lie that all religions are just basically the same. Another lie that Easter exposes is that it just doesn't get any better than this. I think the nomination for all-time dumbest TV commercial should be the beer commercial that used to be popular back in the day. And here's the scene. You got a bunch of guys out in the wilderness around a campfire. It's cold, it's wet, it's dirty, it's smelly, and they're drinking beer away from their friends, away from their wives, away from their kids. They're about to sleep on the ground. And one guy says, "It just doesn't get any better than this." And I'm thinking to myself, I'm cold, I'm wet, I'm with a bunch of smelly guys about to sleep on the ground. If this is as good as it gets, then I want to get drunk too. You see, cynicism and despair will reign wherever the lie pervades that this life is as good as it gets. This is a statue in Spain where Christopher Columbus is buried. This statue was in honor to the great explorer. And at the bottom of the statue, there was the motto of Spain when Columbus set sail. In Latin, it read, "Na plus ultra," which means no more beyond. Because, you see, for centuries, they believed there was nothing beyond Spain except the edge of the earth. But now, at the bottom of the statue, there is a lion that is eating that word "na" or "no." Why? Because what Columbus proved to the world is that there was more beyond. He proved no more beyond was a lie. He brought the world the truth. And I don't believe anybody only wants to get to go around once in this life. The truth is there is more beyond. And Jesus has proved that. And not only that, he proved that you don't have to be afraid of what is on the other side of death. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. "Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. The end of your body will not be the end of you. If you are in Christ, then everything that happened to him will happen to you. Does that mean no bad thing is ever going to happen to me in this life? No. But knowing what's coming is going to give me some leverage over what I'm dealing with right now. Because I know that no bad thing in my life gets the last word. And I need to believe that right now. And I can tell you personally, there are times when it becomes vitally important that Easter really happened. Look at Romans chapter 8, beginning in the 18th verse. Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. In other words, the day is coming when death will finally die. I really believe that I won't spend another single day of my life just lying around, if that's true. You see, the third lie that Easter exposes is the popular lie that life has no meaning. You and I know a lot of people playing Trivial Pursuit with their lives. Why do we do that? I don't believe it's because our problems are so big. I think it's because our life goals are so small. Listen to me. You are not just a few billion years of evolution. You didn't used to be pond scum. You were created by an almighty God, and He put you here on this earth to do more with your life than just pay the bills, cut the grass, feed the kids, and stay out of jail. You are here for more than that. And if the tomb really is empty, then I must believe that I was made by an eternal God to love Him and to enjoy Him and to fellowship with Him forever. And what that means is that suddenly my life right now matters a lot because it is preparing me for the next. And if you believe in Jesus, you can bury the word insignificant, because Jesus isn't buried. And your life matters. In 1 Peter 1:3, Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Futility has become a fatality because of Easter." Suddenly, God says, "Mike, everything you do now has eternal ramifications. Just giving a cup of cold water to a thirsty beggar matters forever now." Josh McDowell tells a great story. He had a friend who was a professional headhunter, and a lot of you know what that means. He recruited people for top-level management positions in large companies, and he told Josh once, "Josh, here's what I do to find out if a guy can handle pressure or not. I'll get him in my office, I'll take my coat off, I'll loosen my tie, and I'll put my feet up on the desk and just talk to him about trivial stuff, his family, football, whatever he's into. And suddenly, I'll look him straight in the eye and I'll ask him, 'What's your purpose in life?'" And he said, almost without exception, they go speechless and they have no clue what to say. "Josh, last week I had a guy in my office named Bob. I took my coat off, I loosened my tie, I put my feet on the desk, and I was talking football because Bob loves football. And when I thought that he was totally off guard, I stood up and I asked, 'Bob, what's your purpose in life?' And that quick, Bob said, 'To go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can.'" He said, "Josh, I was speechless. I had no clue what to say." See, Paul writes in Colossians 3, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." If you believe in Easter, some of you need to stop living so low. Easter is not just a reason to not fear dying. It is the reason to not dread living. Which brings us to one more thing we have to talk about. If the tomb really is empty, then there's no more room for this lie that things have to stay the way they are. I think the reason that some of you dread living is because you feel stuck between a rock and a hard place. And when it comes to Easter, you are informed, but you are also entombed. And what I mean by that is you believe Easter happened for Jesus, but you don't believe anything is going to set you free. And I don't know what you're struggling with. A bad temper, maybe addiction, drugs, alcohol, pornography. Anybody here tired of being a people pleaser? Always feeling like you need somebody to approve of you before you can feel good about yourself? Do you have a stale marriage? A lot of people believe in the doctrine of Easter, but they don't know anything about the power of Easter in their own lives. I believe if Jesus sits on the throne, nobody has to stay in the grave. I believe God can offer you a new future because He has dealt with your past. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. See, here's the biggest lie of all that Satan wants you to believe. That you are stuck in a prison and the door is always going to stay locked. So you can come to church all you want. The devil doesn't care how many Easter services you go to. As long as you come home convinced that you cannot change the way that you are. That is a lie. And when He came up out of the grave, He took the keys of death and Hades away from Satan. And that door has been opened. It is unlocked. And you don't have to stay sealed behind your problems anymore. And the reason things can change is because God doesn't change. He led Jesus out of a sealed tomb. And He can lead you too. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. His power for us. Do you understand? God doesn't want Easter to be a doctrine. He wants it to be an experience. He wants you to know the kind of power in your life that raised Jesus from the dead. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Margaret Higgins, over 60 years ago, won the Pulitzer Prize in journalism for one question. She was in Korea. 15,000 Marines were on one side of a hill in the dead of winter, and 100,000 Chinese were on the other side. The temperature was well below zero. She was talking to a sergeant who had not bathed and barely slept in 2 weeks, and the only food he had had that he had eaten was out of cans. And she asked him this question, if God could give you anything you wanted, what would you ask for? And he thought for a moment, and he said, I would ask for tomorrow. Now here's the truth of Easter. No more lying around. If Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead, then God can offer you a new tomorrow. So the real question today is, do you really believe in Easter? Or are you going to wake up tomorrow and just spend it lying around? See, Jesus said to those who believed in Him, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. He is most known as O. Henry, one of the greatest short story authors in American history. His real name was William Sidney Porter. His last words to his nurse before he died were these, Mary, pull up the shades. I don't want to go home in the dark. I don't want to go home in the dark either. When God rolled the stone away, the light from heaven flooded that tomb. And it wasn't so that Jesus could see, so that you could. No more lying around. No more living in the dark. That's the message of Easter. Would you stand up as we get ready to sing together?